by her absence. Remember this phrase by Prabhupada? He says, you know, with this word, many people don't know what it means. Conspicuous by its absence. So, which means that she's very noticeable for not being there. That's the thing. You know, she's very noticeable, conspicuous for not being there by her absence from there. That is Maya. Which means that there's no way that Maya can enter. Then on the other hand, then if Maya didn't enter, how did we got into Maya? You know, because that was, you know, we fell in Maya, that's why we're here. So, you see, the analysis of these things poses a difficulty of what is our realization. It is not something that we will just understand from 2 plus 2 is 4. Anyway, the way Prabhupada responded to that is that untimely is basically what it means is that you had a larger span of life, but because of your activities of free will and the activities of other person of free will, you change that. Otherwise, there would be no point in becoming Krishna conscious or doing anything. You see? Like, for example, one has a karma, but it is a fact that when you become when you are initiated, that karma changes. So karma is not eternal, as it is explained in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. In the introduction, Prabhupada explains that out of those five things that he's analyzing there, four of them are eternal and one is not eternal. So this, if I correctly remember, yes. So this karma, this is the thing that is not eternal. So we are free, and, you know, although according to our previous life, we had a span of life, we are now creating more activities that changes that. The activities we are creating now are changing that. And just like even Chanaka Pandit says that your lifespan, your riches, and, you know, a few other things are marked at the time of birth. Already when you are born, like Prabhupada says in Bhagavatam, he puts it in the way that you have so many breaths to breathe. You're breathing, you know. You have so many breaths, and therefore, even in English you have that expression, he breathed last. How you have that? What is that? He breathed his last? Last breath also, yeah. But also they say he breathed his last. I know there's some expression like that. I've seen kind of, they put it like poetic. Anyway, and so which means, you know, they are not noticing that it means there was a number of, and there was a last one of that number. So it is very interesting how, you know, there are numbers of breaths. In third canto, Prabhupada speaks of this. So, but by our activities, although that may be marked, like we know there are lines in our hands, there is astrology, all those things, and it says that certain person may die. Just like I remember Sundara Rup Maharaj, he said how, you know, his horoscope had ended and he was still living. And there was no more after that. He should have died, according to his horoscope. So he was, how you say, living on free time or something, I don't know how you say that. So anyway, he was, you know, he expressed this one day in class. He said that as far as the horoscope, they had told him something, he was already overdue, you know, long overdue. And that was years back. And even, I believe, a year ago or so, he had a heart attack still. I mean, kind of young, comparison to other people. And he's in his 40s, I believe, so that's young. And anyway, so he says he was living, you know, over the time that was allotted. So these things can change, and definitely there can be an untimely death, which is that, you know, it's not when it was predicted because of certain activities of you or other person. Otherwise, you see, like for example, when a killer comes and kills someone who is a young person, that is, in one sense, an untimely death, because a person is not supposed to be killed so young, you see. And it's by the action of... Now, on the other hand, you may say, well, but that person was moved by a demigod or by the forces of nature because of actions and reactions and this and that. But, you understand, when we're speaking of untimely death is what it should be if there hadn't been wrong activities in an ideal situation. That is the idea. But ideally speaking, because things are changing all the time. Otherwise, there would be no sense on doing anything. We just, you know, stand. That is fatalism. That is what people think we are followers of. They think we are fatalists. Am I saying the correct word? Yes. So people isn't it? They don't say like that. Yes, they believe that this is what we are, fatalists. They think we're just, you know, like our philosophy. They think just takes you, like a friend of mine, someone who was a friend at the time I joined Krishna consciousness. When I explained to him what it was all about, he said, "Well, why don't you commit suicide? You know, I said, just commit suicide and finish with everything." Because he didn't understand. He said, "You don't go to, you're not going to go to the movies. You're not going to watch TV. You're not going to go to parties, to discos, and thing, you know, then what you're going to do? You know, you might as well just commit suicide." You see? So they think like that, that we are just. That's one way of seeing it. Other people, they think, you know, that we are just proposing to sit down and just wait for things to come to you. Whatever happens, happens. Like there's that, que será, será. Whatever happens, happens. You know? Just wait for it. So this is not actually our philosophy. And we know we can change things, and we should be very active and actively changing things, especially transcending. As by becoming devotees, we transcend karma. And Prabhupada explains this very nicely in Queen Kunti book, in the Queen Kunti book, where he says that a devotee, although, you know, some karma may remain there, it's just a token. Just something very small may happen in comparison to what would have happened if he hadn't been a devotee. So there is such thing as untimely everything, death, untimely things that happen to oneself, depending on one's activities that are changing all the time.
I just thought demigods had more control over every, like I knew that every action of our body is under control of some.
But depending on your desire, that's where the change is. You see, you do not tell, you don't know how you move your hand, really.
Or your eyes.
Yeah, that's right. You're not telling the eyes, all right, wait a minute, now, blink, you know, and then the eyes blink. And it's not that, you know, you tell your hand the same, it's not that, you know, within yourself, you're saying, all right, muscle 55, move number 56, and then, you know, all of a sudden you start seeing your hand, you know, levitating. All you're doing, you see, you know how it's happening. Definitely the demigods are doing that. All you're doing is hand, move. You're just telling it. And then it moves. So like that. All you do is to desire. So the demigods are just fulfilling. Just see how, you know, dependent we are. You see, we don't even know how all these things happen. Sometimes you want to move your hand and it doesn't happen. You know, so, isn't it? Sometimes, especially in dreams, you may all of a sudden awake yourself. It has happened to you. Yeah, all of a sudden you're awake, and then you want like to move something, and you can't move. Of course, there may be a ghost troubling there, but. Not a demigod. Not precisely a demigod. Anyway, but these things, you know, like someone, it doesn't depend on oneself. Sometimes these things happen. Like, for example, now you've been sitting in, you know, semi-lotus position for some time, and you may have a semi-ache in your foot. So, you know, sometimes you may not be able to move as you want. So, you know, it doesn't depend on oneself. It's depending on someone else. So demigods are there.
Said something that when I was living outside, I had never experienced some of the things I've experienced with the ghosts living here.
Yes.
I mean, some things were like, you know, you could practically feel like somebody, you know, all sorts of things.
Well, don't think that there are more ghosts here than other places. Don't think, you know, the temple actually is. It is explained in the Krishna book that by chanting Hare Krishna, all these elements go far away. But what may mostly happen is that you are not so aware. You may be now more sensitive and more aware of many things than before. You see, before I think, you were probably under the effect of so many substances that your mind would be so clouded, you know, that these things, how aware you were of things. I don't think we can, you know, have too much trust on what you were aware or were not aware, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, one of the things that probably one was a ghost himself. So, you know, some people may live in such a way that even the ghost may be afraid of them. You know, they may be even fearful to the ghost. So sometimes, you know, this is the situation that we live in such a way that there's not, you know, that you think he's a friend, you don't think he's a ghost. So when we're in Krishna consciousness, these things become more prominent. You see, we see the difference. Before, it was more difficult to see the difference. Anyway, it's a little bit late, and I want you that you may be able to go to Arctic. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Sri Nimayanitaya Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Jikri Jai Nishin Bhagavan Ki Jai Gaur Pranandi Hari Hari Om. Very kind.